Hi, this is Peter Werby. We are currently experiencing some technical difficulties, so until we clear up the problem, please enjoy one of my previously recorded shows. We'll be back after we fix the problem, and you know what? I think it's only going to take a minute.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show. Call and talk to Peter.
Hi, this is Peter Werby. We are currently experiencing some technical difficulties, so until we clear up the problem, please enjoy one of my previously recorded shows. We'll be back after we fix the problem, and you know what? I think it's only going to take a minute.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot. Why am I the host, Jalene Jordan, being laughed at?
You were jamming.
I was jamming with this music from CeeLo.
Salsa style.
Yeah. That's not, is that salsa? No.
Oh, I don't know.
That's New Mexican music. Actually, okay. The band from Santa Fe, CeeLo.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry. And we got William Rivers Pitt on at 33 minutes after the hour.
Yeah.
A pit bull for now. I wonder.
You call him that.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll say that there'll be this silence on the other end
no,
of the
I
line.
I think he'll like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what I always say. I mean, like this Enron scandal, people. Enron. Oh, yeah. I remember that old scandal. It's because the Democrats never leapt on it like pit bulls in the manner that the Republicans just dogged the Clintons for 8 years about the slightest little accusation. Well, slightest. They were accusing them of murder.
Accused of rape.
Yeah. Everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. And so do we have a guest in the final hour?
We don't.
So that means you can call 1-800-TALK-YES. Not you, Jalene, but or you can if you like. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Yesterday, we began talking about vanity license plates.
Yeah.
Remember, what didn't they want? Oh, they didn't want Irish One on there because
ethnic.
No ethnic.
Right.
And who knows? You know, somebody said in that article, gee, we ought to be able to put anything on a license plate we want.
Because think about the bumper stickers sitting right next to it.
Yeah. But I was thinking, man, you could get some pretty offensive stuff on bumper stickers. But apparently the guy was saying, so what? We're in that era where, you know, the private space, I don't know. That's
and the language.
Yeah. Is it the bumper sticker of car private space? I don't even know.
I don't know.
You know, the question I never asked. Remember, we were saying that we wanted to keep our, wasn't it you and I wanted to keep our
anonymous.
Bumper stickers clean and anonymous?
Yes.
Whether any of you out there have ever had a problem like vandalism or felt that you were pulled over by the police or yelled at. Actually, I had... let's see. Oh, yeah. A no news or free press. Now, that sounds like, wait a minute, I'll explain
no
that.
News or free press.
Yeah, but that sounds to somebody who doesn't know that we have the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press.
Right.
It sounds like we don't want any news or any free press.
So you had that on your car.
Yeah, it said no news or free press. There was a 5-year strike.
Right.
And the only thing, I actually had my aerial ripped off once.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, I mean, who knows? It was in a parking lot. And another time, I see some guy ahead of me, and he's waving something out of his sunroof. And then I pull up, and I realize it's the Detroit News, you know, because there was this huge consumer boycott. I say, you know, whatever.
Well, if I were a police officer, I would be wise to those bumper stickers. I'd be pulling people over, you know, for certain messages. I mean, some people are so stupid. They put these things on about, you know... Bud, you know, Budweiser or whatever, you know, it's like advertising that you like to party. You know?
Yeah, and they probably have a traveler, you know what a traveler is?
Yeah, have a drink with them.
Yeah.
I don't do any of that anymore.
Oh, that's a bad thing.
I'm a reformed girl.
That's good. That's a good thing. but anyway, anyone with any stories of negative bumper stickering, let us know.
Yeah.
My wife, Marilyn, thinks that Detroit has more bumper stickers than any city in the country.
I don't think so.
No?
No. We have a lot of bumper stickers back home. In Iowa.
Well, that was because there's not a lot of other entertainment in Des Moines, right?
No, there is. There's quite a lot.
Bumper
actually.
Stickers loom large.
The Broadway shows
there
go
the,
there. They
come
stop
on.
There. They do.
Yeah.
Just like they do here in Detroit.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got to go there sometime.
No,
maybe.
You don't.
All right. All right. All right. We got some callers waiting. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Here's Ted in Portland, Oregon. Ted, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together. Like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive...
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with June Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Well, thank you, everyone, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Peter Werby Show. Peter has a couple of days off. I'll be filling in today and tomorrow with lots of great guests. I've packed it full, as I always like to do kind of a whirlwind tour when I do Peter's show and keep the flow really going. Because without Peter, you know, it's a different entity for sure. But we still have you, the listeners. So make sure that you get your comments in today at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And email also is another great way to get in touch with me during the show. I read emails on the air. It's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Having some email problems right now, but that's the way of the world. It'll be back, and I will get them on the air. We're going to talk about several things, including the Democrats in Texas. Oh, do we love the Democrats in Texas and their big walkout holding up in Oklahoma. That's next hour. We'll talk to Charlie Jackson from Texans for Peace, who's up on everything Texas, and he has plenty to say about this. And also, the Nell Corporation. I really want to get into this, and we'll have a guest about that. And I think that you and I should talk about it as well. I think this deserves a lot of time, the Vanel Corporation, and I'll get to that in just a minute. A little later this hour, Bo Grosskopf will join us. He is author of The New Explosions of Terrorism, and he's also a professor of international relations at California State at Chico, which leads me right into what I want to talk about to start off the show today. And your comments welcome at any time at 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way. Interrupt me anytime. First of all, I was connecting the dots as usual, and I was reading this article, the headline from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Democrat says Iraq war, let al-Qaeda rebuild. So this is Bob Graham, Senator Bob Graham, here in my own state of Florida. Bob Graham saying these amazing statements. He's just being so radical, saying if al-Qaeda is able to mount terrorist operations in Chechnya and Saudi Arabia on the same day, that's an indication that they are a substantially rebuilt organization with very significant capabilities. Okay, Bob, you need to go a little deeper. You need to get a little more rad on us. You need to connect the dots, as we have here at the Peter Werby Show. Then I look at other headlines as I'm doing my research. I go back to an article Tuesday from the Washington Post, and this is about the explosions, these explosions in Saudi Arabia. And it says explosions hit a U.S. Saudi business. Okay. And three housing compounds. And this was, of course, Monday night. Well, you look further down, and the Pentagon says that none of the targets appeared to be related to the military. Okay. And you go further in and you read, the third compound, according to the Saudi source, was believed to be in an area populated by Americans working for a local subsidiary of the Fairfax, Virginia-based Vanel Corp. So then we continue to connect the dots with a guest that I booked for 2 hours from now. And that is Prothop Chatterjee. He is with Corp Watch. He wrote an article, this was back from March of this year, about Vanel Corporation. And this is the corporation where the bombings were near. It's the second time that there have been bombings outside of this corporation. Well, let's see what this is all about. Vanel Corporation, we'll go back to the beginning. Why not? Vanel Corporation was founded by the late A.S. Vanel in 1931 to pave roads in Los Angeles. Since then, the company has handled a number of large domestic as well as government projects. The company was the major contractor for U.S. military operations in Okinawa, overhauled Air Force planes in Guam in the early 1950s, and sent men and equipment onto the battlefields of the Korean War. Now based in Fairfax, Virginia, the company has been controlled in the past through a web of interlocking ownership by a partnership that included James Baker III and Frank Carlucci, former U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense under Presidents George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan, respectively. Oh, what a shock. Oh, I was so absolutely shocked when I read this. I thought someone in the Reagan and Bush administration, and that could even include this Bush administration, who is connected to all of this bombing because of their actions in the past. You know, the thought that someone was angry enough to perform, so to speak, a suicide bombing in front of this Vanel Corporation, they must have done some pretty awful things. So we have to look further into this, don't we? Oh, my. It is getting worse. It stinks more every day, may I say, quite bluntly. Perhaps the most important military contract that Vanel landed was in 1975. Here's where it gets really interesting. When the Pentagon helped the company win a bid, to train the 75,000-strong Saudi Arabian National Guard, a military unit descended from the Bedouin, warriors who helped the Saud clan impose control on the peninsula early in the last century. So this is what a former U.S. Army officer told the magazine, and this is someone who worked for the Vanel Corporation. We are not mercenaries because we are not pulling triggers. We train people to pull triggers, one of his colleagues, Riley, pointed out. Maybe that makes us executive mercenaries. Oh, okay, so that's what you're calling yourselves. And you're saying this publicly? You are telling a magazine reporter this? This was an article from Newsweek that at one time described the company's first recruitment efforts with the aid of a one-eyed former U.S. Army colonel named James D. Holland in a cramped office in the L.A. suburb of Alhambra to put together a ragtag army of Vietnam veterans for a paradoxical mission to train Saudi Arabian troops to defend the very oil fields that Henry Kissinger recently warned the U.S. might one day have to invade. This is from this article. So, the Vanel Corporation, the Saudi Arabia bombings, directly connected. An article, let's go further down. This is from Prothop Chatterjee, who I'm afraid I'm going to give it all away before we even have him on the air, but I'm so up in arms, no pun intended, no really bad pun intended, over this, that I just felt we had to start out the show with this today. Okay, let's take that. Steph talking in my ear, in case you're wondering why I'm pausing. And thanks to Steph already for doing a great job today getting things going for us. And we have Dave in, can you tell me again?
Silverdale, Washington.
Oh, hi, Dave. You're here. Welcome to the Peter Worby Show.
How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm all flushed. I'm hot. I'm angry. How are you?
Well, you know what, having lived in Florida before, I think that just goes with the territory down there, doesn't it?
Well, if you talk about the drivers down here, they're horrible. Yeah, sure.
I know that. I did live 10 years in Coral Springs. So.
Ah, well, right near me.
Yeah. I think you're a very timely topic, and I think you're right on in terms of talking about Vanel in terms of the mercenary force. And
yes.
I don't say that lightly because I actually, I've been affiliated with the military. I've had a secret clearance.
Really?
I was in the military's personal reliability program, which is kind of the surety program for people who are working with weapons systems and so forth.
Wow,
and
interesting.
So, you know, I'm not a military basher. I'm not probably a typical member of the left who just wants, you know, doesn't, I guess it's criticizing just to criticize. But I do believe that as Americans we have to take responsibility. And, you know, I know the response from the right will be, oh, you know, blame America first to even talk about the idea that Vanel is, a mercenary force.
Right.
But if we're going to take responsibility, and I think that, you know, that supposedly is a conservative idea, is that you have to have accountability and responsibility.
Hey, that's a good point.
Well, and we have to be responsible, which means you have to know. You know, in order to take responsibility for something, I have to be able to scrutinize it and call it what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
And what this Vanel force is, we have mercenary forces arrayed around the world, and yes, they're not pulling the trigger for this Bedouin mercenary force that the House of Saud hires to protect them, but we're just as guilty, and Americans need to understand that if we're going to actually solve the terrorism problem, we're not going to crush it. I mean, it's amazing to hear Dick Cheney, to solve this problem, you need to crush them. And it's like, well, didn't you say that 2 years ago and a year ago? And
yeah.
How long before we catch on that's just all that really does is keep us in line?
Well, and that's something else, Dave, that I want to talk about today. How Not to Run a Country is the headline from the Globe and Mail. And it's all about what's going on in Afghanistan, the failure of the U.S. military action and, you know, basically very little follow-up. Now look what's going on in Iraq. It's a complete failure. It was a failure. It was illegal. It shouldn't even have been done, in my opinion. But it's all connected to this one person named George W. Bush.
Afghanistan in terms of taking responsibility. I mean, before we found it necessary to overthrow the Russians there by arming a terrorist force, yeah, the Russians at least built hospitals and universities. There was infrastructure in Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
We armed terrorists, and 6 weeks after the invasion of Afghanistan in the early 80s, the Russians controlled every city, every highway, every bit of infrastructure in that country.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 years later, they were thrown out.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't, because we took over that country in, I think, 4 weeks. We beat the Russians by 2 weeks, but we still have not overcome the problems that the Russians faced in actually taming the country or rebuilding it, and we are failing at that.
Yeah.
So I think if
miserable.
You wanted to run a story on how not to run a country, the byline should be Washington, D.C., not Afghanistan.
Absolutely. That's the root of it all. You're right, Dave. Hey, thanks for a great call. Appreciate
Thank
you calling
you.
In today. Have a great day. And anyone else who wants to chime in on Vanel or Afghanistan, because I do want to talk about Karzai and his really lack of power and that the Taliban really are still there, folks. So this is something that I just kind of want to wrap up with Vanel. In 1997, Charles Hanley, a special correspondent for the AP, got what is called in this article a rare glimpse inside the Saudi operation with Vanel, this mercenary operation, where he described 300 American military veterans in the desert hills overlooking Riyadh with yellow Vanel Arabia patches on their khaki and olive drab uniforms training young Saudis. I just really, we need to talk, folks, because this is a racket through and through. Come on back. It's the Peter Werby Show. I'm Julian Jordan.
I am driven to overcome. I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Are you tired of being yelled at, preached at, lectured to, demagogued, ridiculed, moralized, proselytized, and abused? Why don't you try something new? Join me, Nancy Skinner, on IE America Radio Network, where we can discuss the issues of the day from a whole new and healthier perspective. Nobody gets fed to the lions, everybody has a right to their opinions, and the best thing is you walk away feeling better about life.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
And yes, I have to quote Butch in Texas and say, what a tangled web these Republican mongrels weave indeed. May they all eventually get caught in their own web. Thank you, Butch. Good to hear from you. And Butch emailed me, calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com is the number. I like that one. Oh, what a tangled web they weave. Talking about the Vinnell Corporation and one that has been accused of being a CIA front of, and it has actually really did recruit and actively has executive mercenaries, they're calling themselves. It's all connected. The Bush administration, one, the Reagan administration, two, and we're talking about James Baker and Frank Carlucci, former U.S. Secretary of State and Defense, respectively there for Bush and Reagan. Let's go out to Brookings, Oregon, and Joe calling in, 1-800-TALK. Yes, you can do that too. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Anyway, greetings from Mean Joe Green to all my neo-fascist Republican friends and all my Clintonoid humanoid jackass Democrat friends.
Okay.
Anywho, before I do my imitation of John Kerry.
Oh, no. I'm afraid.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit about Saudi Arabia. You know, it's pretty obvious that the ties between the Saudi Arabian government and terrorism are rather wide-ranging and extensive, and they run rather deep.
I should say
Therefore, I think the solution is pretty obvious. We need to go back to bombing the hell out of Iraq.
Hey!
That's the answer. That is the answer to everything. Bomb the hell out of Iraq. They get to pay for the sins of Saudi Arabia.
There you go. All right, give me your John Kerry imitation.
Yeah, okay. Here it goes. Drum roll, please. I, John Fitzgerald Kerry, that's JFK to all you ignorant peons out there, I am totally immune from all criticism for my support for Bush's stupid little war.
Ah.
After all, I am a Vietnam combat veteran.
Right.
Which is something that I will mention for at least the rest of my life.
Good one, Joe. Thanks for calling in. Yes, very good, very good, very good. Applause warranted, I think. Tony's in Washington, D.C. Let's go out there to the nation's capital. Hi, Tony. Welcome. Are you there? I hear no Tony. Well, we'll just check. Okay, try again. Tony, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. I would like to say I would do my Jack Nicholson imitation of being an irate million-dollar fan from L.A., though, but my voice won't do it today.
You're not in good voice. Maybe
no,
tomorrow.
No. And okay. I'm not wearing my dark shades.
You're just salt water.
I just found out that the guy that's the new viceroy of Iraq, I think his name is Barker or...
Bremer.
He's the number... junior partner for the Henry Kissinger group.
Oh, yeah. They're all connected.
You're talking about serious dots.
I know. Yeah, you're connecting dots out there in Washington, D.C., Tony. And what do you just sit there like me and say, are we supposed to take this? It's just baffling, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm saying we spent $70 million just to get to Clinton about an adult affair. I'm not saying that it was right.
Right. But it wasn't about killing people and crooked absolutely. Business deals. And
everybody from the Reagan household is right back where they started. And I don't hear any right-wingers coming up here refuting where it won.
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for somebody just to be brave enough to come in your show and say, you know.
Well, we need the Democrats to do that, you know, Tony. We
you know,
need
you're
them.
Right, but I thought that they left town too.
They're all one. They've all become one. We're going to talk about that later too. We have a guest coming up, Bo Grosskopf. He wrote the newest Explosions of Terrorism. We'll talk about that coming up, and a Jim Hightower minute for you as well. Thanks, Tony, for calling in.
Know where we're going.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Love and Dr. Drake style. Rolling through the streets, just doing my thing. I need the tricks to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I wanna stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Rolling through the tricks.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
18 people are dead from heat stroke after being locked inside a semi-tractor trailer near Victoria, Texas. The trailer, discovered at a truck stop early Wednesday morning, contained more than four dozen people, believed to be migrant workers from Mexico without immigration visas. It's not clear how long the trailer had been abandoned, but the truck's driver has been located and arrested.
A healthcare union in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has a new office this month after its previous landlord evicted the organization because of its anti-war views. After Local 1199 of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees organized an anti-war march through the streets of Albuquerque in March, the building's landlord filed a complaint against the union, ultimately evicting the organization for creating a public nuisance and disturbing the peace.
South Korean troops are mobilizing to break blockades created by striking truckers at the country's two largest ports. The truckers began the strike nearly a week ago for better wages and more on-the-job rights, but the government says it won't negotiate with the strikers until they return to work. The country's electronics and auto manufacturers are just about out of supplies, and exports are backing up, costing the national economy an estimated $180 million a day. Military transports will be used to move cargo around and through the blockades, and plans are in the works to ship more cargo by rail, although the Korean Freight Rail Workers Union says it may fight the government's strike-breaking efforts.
Pilots at Delta have given the thumbs down to their airline's call for massive wage concessions. Like most airlines, Delta has been bleeding revenue in recent years, but the Delta Airlines Pilots Association says the call to cancel pay raises and slash hourly wages by 22% goes too far. Since September of 2001, Delta's laid off 18% of its workforce.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome back to you. And Peter will be back on Monday. We'll be together again, and he's doing a little vacation time after his trip to Santa Fe. Once again, want to say thank you to everyone in Santa Fe at KTRC and all of the listeners for stopping by to see Peter. He had a great time, and I know it was just a banner week for him being able to come out and see all of you and meet all of you and re-meet all of you again, because we've been there before broadcasting live. Let's go to our guest now. It's Bo Grosskopf, Professor Bo Grosskopf, author of The Newest Explosions of Terrorism, and also a professor of international relations at California State University in Chico. And Bo, thank you for joining us today on the Peter Werby Show.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate having you here. And I have to tell you, we've been talking already in the show, just so you know what we've been up to the last half hour. We've been talking about the Vanel Corporation and its connections to Saudi Arabia. But let's go back and let's talk about what you said back in April in a news release for the Institute for Public Accuracy. Mm-hmm. You talked about what we've always said here. The U.S. invasion of Iraq increases the likelihood of attacks on the U.S. And you still hold to that, I'm sure.
Well, in light of subsequent events and in light of the information I just received, the 21 British and American gas stations were attacked today in Pakistan. You know, this is what the CIA calls blowback. And
I didn't know that.
It's just I just had a friend of mine call me and tell me that. So, this is nothing that either the CIA or the Bush administration or people like myself don't know. There is no quick fix to terrorism. Americans aren't the only people who seek revenge, and there's lots of people seeking revenge as a result of the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah.
Other confrontational aspects of the American and unilateral aspects of the Bush administration policy.
Correct. And we've been talking about, on this show, I always say baby bin Laden's being born every day. Let's talk about Al-Qaeda. Is Al-Qaeda, I think that it would be ridiculous for any of us to think that it's one solid group. I mean, there are terrorists everywhere, I would imagine.
Well, there are, and, including our own. But in terms of Al-Qaeda, politically, the past administrations and this one have always presented a very simplistic imagery of the problem of terrorism, notably that it is, it's other people who do it, that there's a quick fix to it in terms of just bombing, that the source is mental instability, and that's a very simplistic notion. But along with that is this notion of a network, which basically means that there is a single-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's politically convenient, and that's why, for example, every time we catch a subordinate, or we're looking for Saddam Hussein, or we're looking for Osama bin Laden, and assuming that with their capture, with their subordinates' captures, these masterminds, as they call them, this is the language that they use,
right,
that the problem will come to an end. Well, that's a very simplistic notion, and it's very politically convenient and useful for the Bush administration and past administrations to carry on with such imagery. Problem is it doesn't reflect reality.
Right. It is simplistic. And I've been trying to, in my conversations, just even with friends and people in my life, they say, well, it was Al-Qaeda. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. So I try to explain this to them, that is far too simple, that it is very complex. And how much worse is it now that we illegally invaded Iraq?
Well, I think again we're beginning to see that we reap what we sow, and the renewed attacks in Saudi Arabia and now in Pakistan and elsewhere, Chechnya.
Yeah.
The Russians are involved in this too, having cozied up to the Bush administration in a number of ways, this is a reality that we face.
Yeah, and you get these blanket statements from the Bush administration about it was Bob Graham, Senator Bob Graham here. I'm in Florida, and he said that the fact that the Chechnya, I have a hard time with that
Chechnyan
one. Thank you. And Saudi Arabia attacks happened the same day. That shows that there is real cohesion with Al-Qaeda.
Well, there is also a link, the fact that Colin Powell went into Saudi that day and then was headed to talk to Putin.
Yeah, you think that could have maybe triggered something?
Well, it seems to me. I mean, I don't know that that it's a it's a significant, the only significance, obviously, that there is a symbolic message being sent to the Bush administration in terms of the Colin Powell and his trip. So there is a certain level of coordination, I guess one might say, but that does not mean that everybody has cell phones now, so let's not pretend like they don't. And that does not mean that it's a single-headed monster, and as long as you have to do is chop off the head of the monster and the whole thing, dies.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down. Single-headed monster. I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal it from you.
Well, be my guest.
Thanks, Bo.
So that's a very powerful imagery that we've been encouraged to adopt.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great imagery for everyone to grasp and think about, that it's not that. And let's talk about Vanel. You obviously know about this.
I know a little bit about them, but I'm not an expert on them. I know that, for example, they were the target in 1996 as well.
Yeah.
I also have come to understand that they have corporate links with the Carlyle Group, which we know is very linked to the Bush administration and personnel in the Bush administration and past administrations as well.
Right.
Where money is to be made, the people who are going to make the money tend to get together.
Yeah, it's deeper than oil. It's oil and money. It's oil.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your article. It was an article, right? The Newest Explosions of Terrorism?
No, it was a book.
Oh, it's a book. I'm sorry. Tell us who published that.
New Horizon Press, and I wrote it in the original was written in 87, and it's now in its fourth edition.
Oh, it is. So since 87, what is the picture like now 16 years later?
The picture actually is more complicated, but at the same time, it's very much the same if we're talking about the pattern of actions and activities on the part of the various administrations from Reagan through Bush 1 and Clinton and now Bush 2, threatening reprisal, encouraging people to take this very simplistic imagery around with them that other people are the problem of terrorism, that we're not part of the problem. Don't ask the question why, because we know these people are crazy and it's right. Foreign cultures and foreign peoples who simply are uncivilized. And so that's been a very constant approach. And that there's a simple answer. There's a simple answer to terrorism. You just bomb people. And that that's been a consistent pattern ever since the Reagan administration. Obviously, particularly with the confrontational approach and unilateral approach of the Bush administration, Bush 2, many of our former allies who were part of our alliance against the terrorism of the Reagan administration and elsewhere have fallen by the wayside, even in the aftermath of September 11th.
Yeah.
Beginning really to fundamentally question just exactly what is the agenda of this war on terrorism, and understanding that it's really the only concern here is that it's a war on anti-American terrorists.
Right, true. And what about Saudi Arabia? What is the future of U.S.-Saudi relations? I mean, it sounds like we're in pretty tight, with oil and corporation and things like that. What's the future look like?
Well, the future obviously depends on several things, but the Bush administration is in a much better position relative to Saudi Arabia and being able to put pressure on Saudi Arabia as a result of the invasion of Iraq, now controlling the second largest oil reserve in the world, also having made very fundamental inroads into the third largest oil reserve and natural gas reserves in Central Asia as a result of the 9/11 and that war in Afghanistan, the new pipeline that's going to go through Afghanistan that the Taliban wouldn't agree to. That was their only crime in terms of the Bush administration.
Other than human rights, right, exactly.
Right, well, I mean, in terms of the Bush administration and the Clinton administration's perspective on the issue, I mean, lots of us were against the Taliban before September 11th for the very reasons that you mentioned, human rights. But the Saudi relationship is one that obviously they're in a position to put more pressure on the Saudis to crack down on the Saudi involvement in terrorist activities, which they have been, in terms of supporting them and maintain the oil connection. And if they don't, we've got people in that White House, the name of Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld, et cetera, Ladeen, who have very much of a plan that if the Saudis don't behave themselves, as the Taliban didn't behave themselves, and as Iraq didn't behave itself, or as Saddam Hussein didn't behave himself, the monarchy could fall.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I know it's been going on for a long time, but ever since Bush was put into office by the Supreme Court, things have just gone to complete hell.
Well, September 11th was really a defining moment for the Bush administration, both in terms of foreign policy and in terms of domestic policy, that has allowed them, under the cover of fighting a war on terrorism, which is a very politically loaded concept and offers very, lots of opportunities to manipulate public opinion as we've seen, was really a defining moment for them to justify long-standing plans that they've had for both the world and for domestic policy.
Yeah, they said it is time to go for it. That's why when G.W. Bush found out about what happened with the Twin Towers, he said, oh, perfect, I hit the trifecta.
Yeah.
Well, this guy, I tell you. Yeah. I always like to ask, by the way, I want to reintroduce you. Our guest is Professor Beau Grosskopf, a professor of international relations at California State University in Chico, and also author of the book, The Newest Explosions of Terrorism. And this is still applicable. You say it's in its fourth printing?
Fourth edition, yeah.
Everything is still applicable today, so people should, if you're interested, pick your book up.
Well, just for example, one of the things I talk about, have a whole chapter on, is what's called the neoconservative input into the conservative revival of the time of the 70s and the 80s. And when Reagan came into power, before he came into power, I was able to predict that terrorism would be the number one issue that he would used to inaugurate a Cold War II against the Soviet Union, and that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now we hear all about the neoconservative cabal in the White House and in the Pentagon and in the State Department. And, you know, they have an agenda, and their agenda basically is that, you know, liberal democratic societies and the populace of liberal democratic societies like ourselves have to make a choice between democracy and governability, and their choice is governability.
Right.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, really. Do you have plans? Are you writing more? Do you have an?
Yes, I am writing more. I mean, I write articles all the time, but I have a new book in the works on the strategic bombing theory as terror from the sky, as evidenced in Gulf War I, as evidenced in Chechnya, as evidenced in Kosovo, and now evidenced in
Iraq.
In Iraq. Yeah.
Okay. And any idea when you'll be finished and we can?
Well, a couple years. Now that the summer's coming, then I don't have to teach and deal with all the university budget issues that I've had to deal with as president of the union. I hope to get a book contract. So yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we look forward to reading your new book, and good luck in the writing and in everything. We appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
I appreciate your inviting me to be on.
Absolutely. Professor Groskopf, we'll talk to you when the new book comes out, okay? Or hopefully before then.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Thank you so much for your input today on the Peter Werby Show. And very interesting. Any comments from you? 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. 1-800-825-5937. And the Nell Corporation, I tried to go on that route with him, but we still have more to cover because this is something else haven't even covered an article. Firm was cover for CIA from the Times UK. As befits a company that has been accused of being a CIA front, of recruiting executive mercenaries and attempting to overthrow the prime minister of a Commonwealth state, the Vanel Corporation kept a low profile in Riyadh. But now, here it says, its discreet security fooled nobody. However, the bomb attack was the second it suffered in 8 years, and that's what we just talked to Professor Groskopf about. He mentioned that. And in 1995, 7 people were killed. It says, this shadowy corporation is said to have been founded during the Depression. And I gave you the history. It was 1931, the late A.S. Vanel, and they were paving roads, and then they went into government contracts. And now they are executive mercenaries. And now, for the second time in 8 years, bombings have occurred. Suicide bombings have occurred outside of this corporation in Saudi Arabia. Dan Briody, who wrote the book The Iron Triangle, did a study. This was a study, actually, of Vanel's one-time owners, the Carlyle Group. That's right. Bush Sr., serialized last week in The Times, says there is no publicity, no press releases, no news clippings. Isn't that amazing? He adds that no one knows who the original owners were. That's what he said. But in this other article, and our guest in the 4 o'clock hour Eastern today, Prothop Chatterjee from CorpWatch, has a real good handle on this corporation. So Vanel has been working with Saudi Arabia almost 30 years. It got this contract back then. Listen to this. How does this sit with you? Listening audience, how does this sit with you? A congressional inquiry found that it had agreed to a no Jews clause. No Jews. In the 1991 Gulf War, Vanel employees were seen fighting alongside Saudi troops. So, the company has now helped Saudi Arabia build their National Guard from 26,000 troops to around 70,000 troops. And they've taught them how to pull the trigger. But they don't pull the trigger themselves. They just teach them how to pull the trigger. In the early 80s, Time magazine reported that 2 employees were embroiled in a failed attempt to overthrow Maurice Bishop, the left-wing prime minister of Grenada. And soon after that, a former employee was implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal. It's thick. And it smells to high heaven, let me tell you. Hey, we are going to talk coming up this coming hour about the Democrats, the House Democrats in Texas. We love them. You know, they left town. They packed up their bags and they went to Ardmore, Oklahoma. And they went to the Holiday Inn and they said, we're not coming back. because they aren't going to agree to this Republican redistricting, so the Republicans could get three more seats in Congress. Okay, so we're going to talk about Willie Nelson. You know, I love Willie Nelson. I love just about everything about Willie Nelson, and now I love him even more. I'll tell you why coming up next on The Peter Werby Show.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ji la is like cool. Like
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
going to connect the dots. It's the Peter Wirby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Thank you very much. A couple of emails from Joe in Austin, Texas. He's helping me out here. Thank you, Joe. That says, we're talking about James Baker and his connection to the Vanel Corporation, and or former connection. He says, Joe says, just to let you know, James Baker's law firm in Dallas is representing, I read this morning, and we will talk about this. His law firm in Dallas is representing the Saudis against the 9/11 families in their $1 trillion lawsuit for wrongful death. This, he said, was sought about a month ago. And I saw something actually today about it, too, Joe. So thanks for sending that in. And I was talking about the redistricting that the Republicans desire there in Texas. The Democrats left town. They left the state there in Oklahoma. And they don't want it redistricted because it means more seats for the Republicans. And Joe says, try 5 to 7 additional seats in the Congress. Okay. Currently at 17-15 Democrat advantage. This new one guarantees 20-10 with a couple unknowns. So, Joe, thank you for sending that in. I certainly appreciate it. And on the note, I was saying, you know, how I love Willie Nelson. I love his music. A friend of mine is actually his harp player, you know, his little harmonica player, and Mickey Raphael, he's fabulous, and Willie's just cool. So Willie Nelson sent care packages to Ardmore, Oklahoma, to the Democrats. Go Willie! Apparently, and thank you to Katie, by the way, from the Green Party in Tennessee for sending this to me. Apparently, knows a bunch of outlaws when he sees them. Willie Nelson apparently knows a bunch of outlaws when he sees them. Last evening, the Killer D's in Ardmore, the Democrats, received major care packages from country music legend Willie Nelson. Among other things, he sent them Whiskey River bandanas, CDs, and health drinks. That was nice of him to think about their health. El Paso Representative Joe Pickett said he sent everything but the groupies. So, Willie Nelson helping out. That guy chimes in at the funniest moments. What can I say? And next hour, I want to talk a little bit about Iraq because there are a few things. First of all, depleted uranium everywhere over there. But the main thing, I should have said second of all there, the main thing is that the Bush administration has kind of changed their tune on weapons of mass destruction. Go figure. We'll talk about that and lots of other things. If you want to bring anything up, please give us a call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And email, as you see, I read it on the air. Carrie wrote in and said, Julene, I'm actually hoping there will be a major blowback against our invasion of Iraq unless there's some major dramatic explosion or attack against the U.S. and Britain. These Republicans are going to continue to think that W is wonderful. We've got to knock him off that pedestal. What has he done to the people of the U.S. and the world? What he's done is unconscionable. Thank you, Carrie. We'll be right back. A whole nother hour ahead.
You've been listening to The Peter Wirby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Peter Wirby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, The Peter Wirby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts.
Pentagon chiefs say this week's suicide bombings in Saudi Arabia are a reminder that much work remains in the global war against terrorism. Several Americans were killed in the blasts in the Saudi capital of Riyadh. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says there's only one way to deal with terrorists.
There's no policy of containment or deterrence that works to deal with the problem of terrorism. The only way to deal with the terrorists is to find them and stop them before they launch more attacks.
U.S. officials think the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was behind the Saudi attacks, though that suspicion has not been confirmed. Two Yemeni nationals have been indicted by the Justice Department on 50 terror-related charges, including the bombing of the USS Cole. Attorney General John Ashcroft says the indictment says that the two are terrorists associated with Osama bin Laden and trained in the terror camps in the 1990s.
As the indictment alleges, they were schooled in Osama bin Laden's hate and vowed to attack and kill Americans wherever and whenever they could, especially American nationals on the Arabian Peninsula.
Along with them, a number of unindicted co-conspirators have been named, including terrorist mastermind bin Laden. More than 60 Iraqis have been rounded up by U.S. troops during a pre-dawn raid on a village near Tikrit. Britain's Guardian newspaper reports among those caught was a man on the U.S.'s list of 55 most wanted Iraqis. The Chinese government's threatening to execute citizens who break tough new quarantine laws aimed at tackling the SARS virus. Human rights groups have reacted angrily, but Dr. Henk Beckedamp from the World Health Organization is welcoming the move.
I think that sounds very tough, but I do believe that people have a certain responsibility, and I think it's very important that people understand what their responsibility is.
Beijing has already threatened to punish local officials if they lie about the spread of SARS. More in a moment.
They left their farms and factories, their offices and classrooms. 16 million Americans in uniform. 400,000 gave their lives for freedom. For the first time, young women eagerly entered the workforce to supply the arsenal the world depended on for victory. But this was no faceless mass that went to war. They were my relatives and yours, our fathers and mothers, our grandparents and next-door neighbors. They were our family's heroes. And yet, unbelievably, there's no national monument anywhere to honor the amazing generation that won World War II. I'm Tom Hanks. Please help build the National World War II Memorial on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-639-4WW2. That's 1-800-639-4992. It's time to say thank you.
A public service message from the American Battle Monuments Commission, the Ad Council, and this station.
Actor Robert Stack has died. He was best known for portraying Elliot Ness in the Untouchables series on TV and was the host of TV's Unsolved Mysteries. A publicist has confirmed that Stack passed away yesterday in Los Angeles. He was 84. The number of people filing claims for first-time unemployment benefits in the week ending May 10th dropped by 13,000 to a seasonally adjusted 417,000, but the wholesale prices of goods plummeted by 1.9% last month, and that could fuel fears of deflation or a widespread drop in consumer prices. On Wall Street so far today, the Dow is up 60 points. More after this.
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
A $1 billion judgment against State Farm Insurance is now in the hands of the Illinois Supreme Court. The company is appealing the judgment for allegedly defrauding consumers. The case surrounds the types of auto parts the company used to repair vehicles. State Farm's accused of telling consumers it would use a higher quality of auto parts while allowing inferior parts to be used. Attorney Robert Clifford told the court if the company was going to use cheaper parts, consumers should have shared in the savings.
The person who's paying the insurance premium ought to get the benefit of the bargain in the form, in the sense of lower premiums, and that did not happen here.
The case was argued before the High Court yesterday. Britney Spears has been losing money lately, and the 21-year-old pop princess is reportedly trying to get some of it back. Celebrity Justice says the singer recently lost $150,000 in the now bankrupt New York investment fund Lancer Partners. She's also settled a lawsuit with Skechers USA over an endorsement deal. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas,
with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with June Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Why, thank you very much. And our number two of today's show, Peter Werby, out and about, traipsing around the country, and I'm filling in today and tomorrow doing the solo thing. Plenty of guests left in this show. In fact, we're going to talk about the Texas Democrats. We're going to talk about homeland security, fatherland security, so to speak, and whatever else you would like to discuss today, because, you know, I go, and this is, we all do this when you're in, do this for a living, you kind of go in your own little path, your own little route. And there's oftentimes things that maybe I did want to talk about that I don't get to, or things that perhaps I'm leaving out. So I welcome you to our phone lines, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And email communication is right here. I'm sitting right in front of it. Send it to me, and I'll get it at calltalkyes@yahoo.com, just like Dan did from Long Island. Dan, this is great. Hey, Julene, you know, I was thinking about how you and Peter always talk about connecting the dots. Yeah, that's our thing. Did you know that that's the last book that G.W. Bush finished reading? A Connect the Dots book? And speaking of Bush and books, I work for a book company, and we were thinking of asking G.W. Bush to do a book for us about his smartest moments ever. But then we realized there's no way we could sell a book that's only one sentence long. Just trying to add a little humor to the day. I'm as fed up and PO'd, he says, as you are about what's going on in the world these days. I am. I am PO'd beyond belief. I am over the top today, as Peter Werby often says, because when you absorb yourself in all the information, when you connect the dots, it really is mind-blowing. And this doesn't blow my mind at all. This one, this little piece I'm going to talk about, doesn't blow my mind at all. The Bush administration has changed its tune on Iraqi's weapons of mass destruction. Are you surprised? Oh, God, what a bad joke. The reason we went to war, the reason we illegally invaded that country, now they've changed its tune. They've changed their tune, I should say. The Bush administration now says they're looking for vast stocks of banned materials, now it is pinning its hopes on finding documentary evidence. What the hell is that? Documentary evidence. So, hey, you know what? I'll give you documentary evidence that Iraq had at one time weapons of mass destruction, that stupid terminology that I wish would just go out the window with the Bush administration, is weapons of mass destruction, documentary evidence. So, yeah, we gave them those. We gave them those weapons. We gave them, we sent them first class over to Iraq. Sure, we did. Remember that? The Reagan administration? Mm-hmm. Bush Sr. was there, involved. Well, sure. But now they can't find any. Why is that? Why cannot the United States and Britain and their forces, why can they not find anything? Because it ain't there. Now, Phyllis Bennis, who is a frequent guest on this program, she's a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. This is what she's saying, and I should have had her on the air, but a quote is just as good. The administration seems to be hoping that these inconvenient facts will disappear from the public discourse. It's happening to a large degree. And Phyllis Bennis is oh so correct, as usual. She's wonderful. They are hoping that these little facts are going to disappear from public discourse. Well, if I have anything to say about it, if Peter Werby has anything to say about it, it's not going to disappear. And that's why I opened this hour with that. In a New York Times CBS poll, check out these numbers. Polls just drive me absolutely insane. But this one says that 49% of these polled, the people polled, said the administration overestimated the amount of banned weapons in Iraq. 49% say they overestimated the amount. You think? 29% said its estimates were accurate. So these 29%, these knuckleheads, have not been following the very fact that nothing's been found. So these 29%, these true knuckleheads, say that the Bush administration was right all along. They haven't found anything, you idiots. And then, how about this? I mean, this is where you go to the deepest levels of idiocy right here. 12% said that the administration said that the numbers, the predictions were low. I don't want to know these people. Or maybe I do, so I can get my hands on them and wring their necks and knock some sense into them. Still, 56% in this New York Times CBS poll said the war would still have been worthwhile even if weapons of mass destruction were never found. 56% said the war would still have been worthwhile? Why? What did it do? It created, well, complete chaos, first of all. It created death in the thousands of innocent men, women, and children, civilians. And now, let's talk about these remains. Let's talk about depleted uranium. Didn't we learn anything from this in Gulf War I or in any of our other little forays around the world? That this is what's happening. I could barely read this story this morning because it angered me so much. If the people of Iraq don't have it bad enough, if it's not bad enough, if it wasn't bad enough for the people of Iraq for the last 10 years of economic sanctions where they couldn't even get toothbrushes, these people have been struggling too long. Sure, Saddam was a horrible guy, but what we're doing is no better in my eyes. And now, the U.S. troops have been told, go ahead, shoot the looters. So what about if there is a little 8-year-old boy trying to get something to maybe be able to sell so his family can eat that week? I mean, really, and more on that, because there are some people over there, some folks in the military who are saying, we're not going to instruct our troops to do this. So, and we see the Bush administration trying to back off a little bit, but not really. They've still given them full permission, the troops, to shoot people. It's crazy. This is from the Christian Science Monitor. It was a very, very long article. I read through it, spent a lot of time thinking about it. At a roadside produce stand on the outskirts of Baghdad, business is brisk for Latifa Khalaf Hamid. Rocky drivers pull up and snap up fresh bunches of parsley, mint leaves, dill, and onion stalks. But Ms. Hamid's stand is just 4 paces away from a burnt-out Iraqi tank, destroyed by and contaminated with controversial American depleted uranium bullets. Local children play throughout the day on the tank, Hamid says, and on another one that's just across the road. No one has warned this woman. No one has, there are no warning signs on these tanks, and kids are playing on them. No one has said a thing. And it looks like, oh, they haven't told this vendor that, you know, she needs to kind of keep that toxic and radioactive dust off her produce. Because no one cares. They don't care. They absolutely do not care. So many people do not care about the people of Iraq. It just makes me sick, completely sick to my stomach. It brings me to, what can I say, tears quite often, and it has for a long time. They have a Geiger counter there. There's this reporter who took a Geiger counter to check, you know, for radiation levels, and this Geiger counter apparently started singing when it neared a DU bullet fragment no bigger than a pencil eraser that registered nearly 1,000 times normal background radiation levels on the digital readout. And the monitor went around to different cities and different sites in each city. Two randomly chosen destroyed Iraqi armor vehicles, for example, a clutch of burned American ammunition trucks, and the downtown planning ministry. They found significant levels of radioactive contamination. And they also saw that there was only one site where troops, U.S. troops, had put up handwritten warnings. And it's like little 8.5 by 11 warnings in Arabic to not go near it. But overall, in the main, this has not been, you know, this has not been, they're not protecting the Iraqi people. They just do not care. And there's varying commentary on whether this is harmful or not. But hey, any Gulf War vets out there? I'd like to know if your story on this, because one of my good friends in Detroit is a Gulf War vet, and he's screwed. His physical health has depleted, just like the depleted uranium. Let's go to Kodak, who's driving through North Carolina. And Kodak, welcome to the Peter Werby Show. Julian, thanks for calling. Are you there? Okay, well, we will move along, and Steph can let me know. How about Rand? Is Rand there in Santa Fe? Oh, my. Okay, well, just let me know what we have going on, and we will continue along. And all of these, they say that the deal with these tank shells, fresh from the factory, they're handled with gloves, they are shielded with a thin coating. But once they've been burned, once this material burns, then these protective shields disappear. Dangerous radioactive oxides are created. This can be inhaled or ingested. And these kids are playing on them like they're toys. Children, apparently, this is Professor Brian Spratt, chair of the Working Group on Depleted Uranium at the Royal Society, which is a scientific institution in Britain. He says, since children find them fascinating objects and can pocket them, these fragments, the science says there is some danger, not perhaps a huge danger of these objects. We certainly do not say these things are safe. We say that cleanup is important. Well, you think? I mean, the United States has dropped the ball, and Britain, they have dropped the ball on every aspect of post-illegal invasion. They've dropped the ball from, you know, pre-invasion. And U.S. troops just don't even go near it. They're afraid. This sergeant in Baghdad said, after we shoot something with depleted uranium, we're not supposed to go around it due to the fact that it could cause cancer. We don't know the effects of what it could do. But we wouldn't go near it, even if it had important documents inside. We play it safe. Well, people of Iraq, they don't care about you. That's for sure. We'll come back and try to get these calls on the air.
right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Philip Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Wermy Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Okay, we were having some phone problems, but I believe they are all fixed. So use those numbers and give a call. Kodak and Rand, you were on the line holding while I was really going on and on there in the last segment. What can I say? Bush administration changing their tune on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction now. They just want to find documentary evidence. Yeah, really? Okay, so then Condoleezza Rice
goes on, does a newspaper interview, and she was saying that the United States is sending a new team to Iraq to scour the country for evidence. They're going to scour. Has the country not been scoured? Has the, I mean, this is such a joke. Listen to this. She said the new team will be more expert at following the paper trail and other intelligence. So people who are actually weapons inspectors, who that's what they did. That's what they do for a living. They are professional weapons inspectors. That wasn't good enough. There are more advanced experts out there. We didn't know. Little did we know. They're going to be more expert at following that paper trail and other intelligence. Condoleezza Rice said, Iraq appeared to have had a virtually inspections-proof system of concealing those chemical and biological weapons by developing chemicals and agents that could be used for more than one purpose, but that could be put together as weapons at the last minute. Oh, okay. So that's today. Oh, you people make me sick. Condoleezza also said, U.S. officials, they never expected we were going to open garages and find weapons of mass destruction. Okay. Now, this is the change in rhetoric that we have seen. March 17th. Let's see. It was, oh, yeah. Remember when Bush gave Saddam Hussein 48 hours to leave the country? This is when he said, intelligence gathered by this and other governments leaves no doubt that the Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised. Here's last October 7th. The Iraqi regime possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons. Remember that? We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemicals agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, and on, and surveillance photos reveal that the regime is rebuilding facilities that it had used to produce chemical and biological weapons. Remember when he looked at us and lied about that? And then in his State of the Union address in January, Bush accused Iraq of having enough material to produce over 25,000 liters of anthrax, enough doses to kill several million people. Remember that? More than 38,000 liters of botulinum toxin, enough to subject millions of people to death by respiratory failure. As much as 500 tons of sarin, mustard, and the another nerve agent here. And then, remember the dramatic speech to the UN Security Council on February 6th by Secretary of State Colin Powell? He said the United States knew that Baghdad had dispersed rocket launchers and warheads containing biological warfare agents to locations in western Iraq. They had those satellite photos, remember? Those satellite photos that showed those banned materials that have recently been moved from a number of weapons of mass destruction facilities. What a bunch of hooey. And these people, they ought to be in jail for what they're doing to the mentality of the American people, to the people, and they should be ashamed of what they've done just all the way around. This entire thing is just a big, frightening joke for personal gain on their part and their friends' parts. And so now, instead of looking for these vast stocks, because there aren't any. I've said it all along, and I will maintain it to this day, and I know a lot of you agree. Now, they're just hoping to find that documentary evidence. Oh, please. Please, someone stop the madness. Charlie Jackson, founder of Texans for Peace, coming up next. We're going to talk about those crazy Democrats in Texas. They got on out of there and said, no way, Republicans. I love it.
Free, 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 free. Every- every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
18 people are dead from heat stroke after being locked inside a semi-tractor trailer near Victoria, Texas. The trailer, discovered at a truck stop early Wednesday morning, contained more than 4 dozen people, believed to be migrant workers from Mexico without immigration visas. It's not clear how long the trailer had been abandoned, but the truck's driver has been located and arrested.
A healthcare union in Albuquerque, New Mexico, has a new office this month after its previous landlord evicted the organization because of its anti-war views. After Local 1199 of the National Union of Hospital and Healthcare Employees organized an anti-war march through the streets of Albuquerque in March, the building's landlord filed a complaint against the union, ultimately evicting the organization for creating a public nuisance and disturbing the peace.
South Korean troops are mobilizing to break blockades created by striking truckers at the country's two largest ports. The truckers began the strike nearly a week ago for better wages and more on-the-job rights, but the government says it won't negotiate with the strikers until they return to work. The country's electronics and auto manufacturers are just about out of supplies, and exports are backing up, costing the national economy an estimated $180 million a day. Military transports will be used to move cargo around and through the blockades, and plans are in the works to ship more cargo by rail, although the Korean Freight Rail Workers Union says it may fight the government's strike-breaking efforts.
Pilots at Delta have given the thumbs down to their airline's call for massive wage concessions. Like most airlines, Delta has been bleeding revenue in recent years, but the Delta Airlines Pilots Association says the call to cancel pay raises and slash hourly wages by 22% goes too far. Since September of 2001, Delta's laid off 18% of its workforce.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Anaconda.
Fudgy.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
That's me, and thank you for coming back. We do have a phone call with someone who's been very patiently waiting, and we appreciate that. Kodak is driving through North Carolina. Are you still in North Carolina, or you've gotten into another state yet?
How are you doing, Julene?
Kodak, fine.
Good. I'm glad to see that you finally purchased Michael Moore's book.
Yes, I did. I've been reading it. Enjoying
it. Good, because I would hate to have to call you to task on that like I did on the protesting the event that your husband had by going in all natural.
Say that again?
You remember I said it would be a good idea for you to protest your husband's not husband's event, but the radio station's event there in Florida for the...
Oh, yes, by going naked, the big Clear Channel event.
Right, right.
You know, I actually wore clothes and I behaved.
Right. I quit using my real name because I am a believer in the conspiracy theory.
Oh.
So I'm going by my CD handle only as Kodak.
I like it.
But the reason I called was to come in on the statistics regarding the number of American people who are either indifferent, don't care, just out of the loop concerning world events.
Okay.
We as humans, our nature tends to not really get concerned about things unless it has a personal effect on us.
Right, direct effect.
To some effect on our life.
Yeah.
So the people that are living above poverty don't really care. I mean, their apathy is reflected in those statistics. And then the people below the poverty level are just trying to do whatever it takes to get from day to day. They can't really be concerned about world events outside of their
They're just trying to survive, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I do.
And I would just like to bring out a point for the listeners that maybe didn't catch the Tom Hartman show. And
okay.
This also is connecting the dots about the Bush administration's outreach program where they were speaking of giving money to the religious organizations and let them try
sure.
their hand at bringing about solidarity.
Yeah,
it just finds out that our tax money wind up going to in the forms of payback to the Christian Science television radio program.
Oh, really?
Yes. Or what's the guy that heads up that whole organization there? Pat Roberts.
Oh, Pat Robertson.
Right. He went to that. I can't remember the figure, but it was in the millions, went to him, and then he broke down the disbursements, but the majority of the money they actually gave to the Christian Science television program, which is run by his organization.
Oh, my gosh.
Go figure.
Well, yeah, go figure, exactly. Just becoming, go figure just seems to be, I don't know, I'm using it a lot more these days.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
And it just shows how elaborate, how successful the Republicans, I'm not going to say George Bush, but this administration is at paying back those who contributed heavily to their re-election of George Bush.
It pays to pay off.
So with that being said, we also going to have to start learning from the Republicans, and since we know that the FCC vote is coming up here soon, which we can already know that it's going to pass, because we know who's heading up the chair of the FCC.
Right.
Powell.
Right.
So that means we need to get our money together and buy stock in Rupert Murdoch's organization.
Oh, yeah. Kodak. Well, listen, you've got a funny laugh. You know what? I'm going to have tomorrow on the show Greg Pallast. And Greg Pallast and I are going to talk about the FCC. We're going to talk a lot about that tomorrow.
Well, you know, I was reading Michael Moore's book first. That was the first one I got when I was on vacation, actually. And my girl, who's my fiancé, as I've talked about her before the show, it's just fed up. But she did buy me Michael's book. So I stopped reading Michael Moore's book to read Michael's first because, you know, a lot of the information that is covered in Michael Moore's book based on Michael's investigative reporting.
Correct, yeah.
And Michael's book is really on the chronological following this conspiracy that this administration is putting into place. So it's a little more, it's less humorous than the Michael Moore's book. Michael is really funny. He has a nice...
He's got a good
way of presenting very technical information.
He
but
really
in
does.
Michael's book, not Michael, but in Peter's book.
Oh, Greg Pallast?
You're right. Greg's book, the information shows the sources and documents how he came about.
Yeah, and I recommend it to everyone. The Best Democracy Money Can Buy by Greg Pallast.
Yes,
he will be our guest tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
See, I read those books so that when I have an opportunity to speak to those people who fall into that hole, I can give them facts. And whether or not they want to believe the facts, you know, I've did my part.
Yeah, you can't control that too much. But see, that's good. That's just extremely important that we keep doing that. And it feels good to kind of know what you're talking about, right?
Yes, and that's another reason I like to give you, Michael, Tom, and all of you all a big congratulations, too, because I notice when I try to, you know, put together a convincing argument with facts, it takes a concerted effort in order to be true to what you have, you know, read and also to the facts. So,
yeah, and if you listen to IE America 24 hours a day, you're going to get it down pat. So, all right, thanks for calling, Kodak. All right,
great.
Have a great day. I got to get to my guest, and please call again to the show. He called 1-800-TALK. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's go now to we'll go down to Texas and Charlie Jackson, founder of Texans for Peace. And Charlie Jackson, quite a biography you have. You're a sixth generation Texan. You have a lot of pride in your state. And what you've tried to do is actually counter a lot of the negative stereotypes of Texas by promoting, you know, your fight for social justice, human rights, peace throughout the world. And I applaud you for that. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. What is going on in your state down there? We love the Democrats, Charlie Jackson.
Well, at the risk of perpetuating the stereotypes, back when I was a kid, we used to go outside and we'd pick up mud in one hand and we'd pick up mud in the other hand and we'd throw it at each other. We call that game Texas politics.
Well, this time the Democrats have left the state. They're in, are they still in Ardmore, Oklahoma, I assume, for the rest of the day?
They sure are. The reason they had to leave the state is they actually would have been arrested and forcibly brought back to Austin if they were in the state.
Isn't that amazing? So they just go across state lines and hide out in a Holiday Inn and everything's okay. What happens when they come home?
Well, if they, this is just a rules procedure in the House. If they wait past the deadline of today or Thursday, they no new bills will be able to be introduced and brought up on the calendar.
Well, could this be, maybe, do you think they could be starting a trend?
Well, no, this isn't the first time this has happened. It may not be the last time, but...
But we needed this to happen now, this year. We needed this.
Well, yeah, and I'm so proud that the Democrats in Texas finally got some gumption and decided to stick up for the working people here.
Right. And I think that we should I'd probably explain a little more. The reason that the Democrats, the House Democrats, walked out in Texas is because the Republicans are calling for this redistricting, which would give them a whole lot more, a whole slew of congressional seats, right?
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, that's ordinary practice. You expect the party that's in power to redistrict, and, you know, they do this every 10 years, and nobody expected that they would try to come back here in the midterm and try to redistrict. But Karl Rove's not satisfied with the majority in Congress. He wants a two-thirds majority of right-wing Republicans so they can put through things like the repeal of the 22nd Amendment.
Right. Oh, yeah, and anything else they want to put through. Karl Rove and also Tom DeLay's got his hands in this, doesn't he?
Well, Tom DeLay is just the message boy. Karl Rove came up with this plan, and Texas isn't the only state that they've done this in. They've also done it in Colorado.
And did it work?
In Colorado, they actually got the redistricting through, yes.
Okay. So now did you hear that Willie Nelson sent a care package to your Democrats?
Yeah, good old Willie. He's a true friend of the working man.
He is. I love him. I love him so much. And I certainly love his music. You have to mention that. He's just wonderful. So tell me what's going on there. What are people, it must be the big buzz in Texas. Headlines everywhere, people talking about it at the water cooler.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, it's you know, one party calling the other party names, good old Texas politics has always been like that down here.
That old mudslinging. And you must be thrilled as founder of an organization called Texans for Peace, right?
Yes.
You have to be thrilled that this is going on.
Well, you know what they're doing. At least they're not pulling out guns and shooting each other in the state house or getting into fist fights, which is we've got a little bit of history of that down here in Texas as well.
That is true, and so maybe this is a little more civil. They've learned to walk away. I'm just
taking advantage of the rules the way they're written.
Yeah. What else, so what else are you doing to keep busy? I know that you were probably had a lot of anti-war demonstrations back when that was really...
We're active at a lot of things. In fact, yeah. I went to Iraq in January to represent Texas in the peace movement over there. But
you did? You were in Baghdad?
Yes, in Baghdad and Basra both.
Oh, my gosh. So,
So what we're doing here in Texas, we're trying to bring attention to the issues of poverty and violence, and especially domestic and family violence, which continues to be a big concern to most of the communities of Texas.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. You're doing all kinds of things. Well, very good. Are you going to have a ticker tape parade for the Democrats when they come back?
Yeah, we're planning a little celebration up in Austin on Friday when they come back from Oklahoma.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You'll welcome them back, and that's great. I love the story. I wanted to get you on.
Great.
And we will continue in the future to talk to you, Charlie, because you do good work there in Texas.
Oh, great.
Texas needs you.
Well, thanks.
Okay. Take care, and have a wonderful day, and thanks for joining us to talk about it. Let's go to the phones. All right, let's go to Chris in Abiquiu, New Mexico, that is. Hi, Chris.
Well, hello, Julene. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk to you.
I wanted to go back to, good on the politicians, the Democratic politicians in Texas. Did you know that the head of the state Senate in Texas actually wanted New Mexico's police officers to arrest the Democrats in case they had come here to try to extradite them back to Texas?
You know, I hadn't heard that one. I've heard about the family members of these Democrats being completely harassed.
Well, it was a big story here. Anyway, I wanted to go back to your earlier point. And listening to right-wing radio, and one of the things I do is refute what they say whenever I can.
Sure.
Going back to the larger picture of what we did in Iraq, you pointed out earlier it was unnecessary, therefore immoral, our attack on Iraq. The one sticking point you get to when you run to the right wing is they will say, when you say it was the wrong thing to do, is the right wing will say, oh, you want the Iraqi people to be under the murder and torture and despotism of Saddam Hussein.
Exactly. I've heard
and
that.
And that's the sticking point.
Yes.
Point out to the right wing. Say, look, robbing banks is wrong. Even if you take the stolen money and use it to buy food for starving children, robbing banks is wrong.
Right.
That Saddam Hussein is gone is a good thing, but it's sprouted from an obscenity, preemptive war, something we have to keep slamming home. What we did in Iraq was illegal, immoral, according to the Pope, an affront to God.
Yes.
And we can't let up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just like the people, the folks on the right wingers aren't going to ever give up on Clinton. They're going to blame him for all the woes of the world.
Oh, God, if an asteroid started coming at the Earth, it would be Clinton's fault.
So we'll just do the same thing.
Over and over again. Just point out, if something good happens from something obscene, it doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, you too, Chris. Thank you so much for calling in from Abiquiu, New Mexico. And the phone lines are open for you to comment and bring up other things if you care to. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937 is the number. It's free. Give a call. Don't be afraid. I don't bite, I promise. Only a little bit sometimes. let's see. Oh, I got a letter from Butch. Butch says he just sent a letter to his senator from Texas, K. Bailey Hutchinson. I'll get that out, Butch, and check it out. Thank you for calling or for emailing. That's calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Another thing on this Texas thing, and we're going to talk about Homeland Security coming up at 4:33 Eastern with Rick Dunham, who is the senior White House correspondent for Business Week magazine. I'm not sure what to expect out of it. I mean, you know, probably a pretty vanilla interview. But there are some Homeland Security meetings going on, I believe, in Virginia. Correct me if I'm wrong. So we're going to talk to him about that. Homeland Security Department used to track the Texas Democrats. Did you hear this? Ooh. And Kodak, you've got to love this. Kodak, who was calling from North Carolina, who's into conspiracy. I don't think this was a conspiracy, though. I think this is I just think this is true. Republicans in Washington and Austin, Texas, apparently used a Homeland Security Department agency to track Texas Democratic legislators who left the state. We just talked about that, to block this passage of the redistricting bill. This is the same Homeland Security Department that is supposed to be making America safe from foreign terrorists. It's the agency we were told would never be used for domestic political purposes. Well, what happened? It reported in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that the Air and Marine Interdiction and Coordination Center in Riverside, California, became involved in the Republican search for 51 Democratic state representatives, who went to Ardmore, Oklahoma. And they reported that the agency received a call to locate a specific Piper turboprop aircraft. And this was belonging to former House Speaker Pete Laney, one of the Democrats who's fighting against this bill. His plane provided a key piece of information. We'll tell you what that key piece of information is. Homeland Security Department, wait, what are they doing? What is going on here? 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, what are you doing to get in shape for the summer?
Lots of sit-ups, man.
Spinning, baby.
Cutting down on the donuts.
Whatever you're doing to get in shape for the summer, make sure you get your Toyota in shape for summer driving. Bring it into your Toyota dealer before you hit the road. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts.
I am walking to work. Of course, I work out of my house.
Make an appointment with your Toyota dealer today and log on to toyota.com/owners for valuable service special coupons.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts, because Pennzoil Motor Oil is just $1.39 a quart. Car buffs, race teams, and repair professionals have trusted their engines to Pennzoil Motor Oil for years. This is the good stuff. Fresh, top-quality motor oil is one of the best ways there is to protect the second biggest investment most of us ever make. And at just $1.39 a quart, this is a great time to pick some up.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico. Welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release
12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me
know. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Wirby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Oh, my. That Bob Marley is... That feels so good. I wish I believed you, Bob. Let's go to David in South Carolina. And he called 1-800-TALK-YES. Hi, David. Thanks for calling the Peter Wirby Show today.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Up and down. All around.
Hey, if you're in South Carolina, you know you're in pretty bad hands here. This is still the state that still thinks it's flying the rebel flag.
Oh, my.
Unbelievable.
That really is. I'm
anyway,
sorry.
Just a couple comments I was going to make. I really enjoy your program, and I think Peter, I mean, in fact, I've called him a couple times and told him how mellow I thought he was, you know.
Yeah, he's a mellow dude.
Yeah, well, he can get stirred up, though. I've heard him slam the phone down a couple times, too.
It's rare, but you know what? He's only human. He can only take so much.
Well, you're right, and that was one of the things I guess I was going to get to is, you know, this Rupert Murdoch situation. Apparently they're having a meeting or something, a hearing down in Atlanta. And I was sitting there looking, I was in Atlanta yesterday, mm-hmm. and I looked at this big, gigantic billboard. Ironically, it was across from the CNN building. And he's talking about truth and journalism and everything. I'm just sitting there gagging.
No.
How this sign could actually, I mean, it's a huge plastered billboard sitting up there. I don't know the exact wording, but I looked at it. I just glanced up, and I couldn't believe I was looking at this from Fox News. You know,
talk
Rupert.
About and, visual pollution and mental pollution right there.
Absolutely. And so that was one of the major things I was concerned about.
Gosh.
He also mentioned about the children playing around with, you know, the nuclear.
Depleted uranium.
Depleted uranium and things like that. I was reading in the, I guess it was USA Today, there were some children, I guess 10 children lost their lives playing around with a bomb trying to salvage the copper out of it or something like that.
Oh, so, I didn't read that.
Yeah, it was in the back page, buried in the little stuff, you know.
Well,
so,
yeah, that's horrible. That's absolutely horrible. I hate hearing hearing that. There's just so many stories like that, aren't there?
Unbelievable. But just keep up the great work. I just hope you guys can get out there. We just got to market this a little better. We got to get out there and use it kind of in-your-face type thing, because I think it's about 20% of the population that gets this in-your-face attitude, you know, where they call you liars and confrontational, and I think they like this stuff for some reason.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Listen, I can spew it with the best of them, so.
I hope you can. Stick in there. Stay in there.
All right. Thank you so much
appreciate
for calling. It. Yeah, absolutely. Have a great day, David. Thanks for calling in. We'll go to Matthew in Louisiana when we come back. We actually have a guest also, Prothop Chatterjee. We're going to talk about the Vanel Corporation. And but we'll take your call, Matthew, first, okay? Coming on back, the Peter Wirby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES. Thanks for being here, everyone.
You've been listening to the Peter Wirby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate you, kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. Saudi Arabia has a terrorism problem, just like many nations in the world have terrorism problems. Those are the words of Attorney General John Ashcroft in response to this week's deadly car bombings in the Saudi capital of Riyadh.
Saudi Arabia must deal with the fact that it has terrorists inside its country. And those terrorists are as much a threat to Saudi Arabia as they are to other nations, perhaps even as much a threat as they are to the United States and to Americans.
At least 34 people, including 8 Americans, were killed in the attack possibly planned by the Al-Qaeda. The southern Iraqi port of Umm Qasr has been officially handed back to the Iraqi people by British armed forces. It becomes the first town in the country to be returned to local control since the beginning of the war to oust Saddam Hussein. Simon Marks reports from Washington.
An interim council has been appointed by the British to run the port ahead of next week's elections, in which every local citizen over the age of 18 will be given a vote. The move comes at a time when U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is on the defensive over America's failure to introduce a national government in Baghdad. He came in for tough questioning during an appearance before Congress.
We cannot make a country that has been badly treated and abused, and a people that have been badly treated and abused for decades, we can't make it right. We can't make it like the United States in 5 minutes.
Simon Marks, Washington.
During the first half of May, there's only been one new probable case of SARS in the United States. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director Dr. Julie Gerberding says she is cautiously optimistic that fewer cases of SARS are being imported into the U.S. and that the international travel advisories are working.
Of course, it only takes one patient in an infectious state to slip through the cracks, so we have to continue to retain our vigilance on this front.
The SARS epidemic has killed more than 600 people in 29 countries, but none have died in the United States. More in a moment.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
President Bush today paid tribute to fallen law enforcement officers during the annual Peace Officers Memorial Service at the U.S. Capitol.
We recall their stories, we offer our heartfelt sympathy, and we honor their distinguished service to the cause of justice and peace.
Actor Robert Stack has died at the age of 84. Reports indicate Stack died yesterday in his Los Angeles home. He will best be remembered for his role as Elliot Ness in The Untouchables and, more recently, as the host of the TV series Unsolved Mysteries. More after this.
Brain.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
The American Cancer Society wants women to focus more on professional breast cancer screening. In its first American Cancer Society update on the matter since 1997, the organization says most women should start getting annual mammograms at age 40. A dog in Colorado Springs is flying over 1,800 miles to be returned with his owners in Florida. The Pikes Peak Humane Society found Samson a few days ago. He was taken to the vet with an injury that required stitches. He had no collar or tags, and no one showed up to claim him. However, the Humane Society used data from an ID microchip inside Samson to trace his owners. Humane Society spokeswoman Ainsley Gottrich says the owners were a military couple stationed in Colorado Springs.
They were stationed here. They got orders to go overseas, so they actually found a new home for Samson, went overseas, finished that tour overseas, and then they were reassigned to Florida.
Gottrich says Samson's owners hope the dog remembers them when he arrives in Florida. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome to our third hour. Peter Werby on vacation for the next couple of days, back Monday together again. But wait a minute. We have a special surprise together right now. It's Peter Werby on the Peter Werby Show. Peter, are you there? Oh, tell me. Tell me he's there. After all that build-up, I can't believe him. Well, maybe he'll call back. What was he? Was he? He was probably just calling to listen in to make sure that I was not ruining his show. And according to Russ, who wrote in from Santa Cruz, he likes my ranting and raving today, and so that's a good thing. Thank you for calling or writing calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And we do have Matthew here. Before we go to our guest, we're going to quick take a call from Matthew, who is in Louisiana. Matthew called 1-800-TALK-YES. Thank you, Matthew. And hello, what's on your mind?
How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Oh, I enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to make a comment about the Homeland Security. You mentioned it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we're going to have a guest coming up at 4:30 Eastern about it. And so maybe this will, if you have a question for the guest, you can always give it to me now.
Well, okay. I'm not sure what the, I'm not prepared for a question right
okay,
now, but
all right.
I just, I just thought, ever since this Homeland Security thing come up and people, in the Congress and stuff started suggesting it and wanting to, fund it and create the department and everything, I had misgivings about it. I remember hearing CIA people that worked in the CIA on C-SPAN, watching them say, you know, that America should not give up civil liberties in order to fight this war on terror.
Absolutely.
You know, and it comes to no surprise to me that, you know, that this department is being abused.
It is. And the thing is, they're spending so much money on it. And is anything getting done? That's my question. In fact, I can answer my question. No. You know, when you think about Homeland Security, you think about the fact they are doing all these things with ports and special X-ray things to instruments that they can look inside of containers that come in from other countries. But when you think about it, these guys who were responsible for 9/11 were hanging out in the United States with box cutters. So, you know, I always take it down to that level. So they're taking all these drastic measures. And yes, you're right. Our privacy is threatened, and our secrecy, and yes, civil liberties going out the window left and right. I sure appreciate
it. Well, I just wanted to remind people that we have the CIA, we have the FBI, and I think there's some secret organization that they won't even tell us how much they spend on every year. You know, in the Pentagon to help protect this country. I don't feel like we need a Homeland Security and a department, and I just know it's just going to be abused by these Republicans that are security crazy. I mean, we are security nuts in this country.
Yeah.
I mean,
really,
you can't be, you know, only you can only be so secure, you have to step outside and go into the world, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
okay,
who's going to be your guest coming up?
Well, coming up at the half hour, actually, I have the senior White House correspondent for Business Week magazine. His name is Rick Dunham. And so, you know, I'll have a good time trying to get anything radical out of the guy.
I intend to listen to the show, and thank you very much. You're a service to the community. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. That wasn't David. That was Matthew. Thank you, Matthew, for calling from Louisiana. Right now, time for our guest this half hour. It is Prothop Chatterjee with Corp Watch. And, yes, watching those corporations. Prothop, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I have already been just raving on and on, I have to tell you, Prothop, about Vinnell, about the Vinnell Corporation. And you actually wrote an article, this was back in March, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So this is something that, you know, we're all finding out about now, that this Vinnell Corporation is, first of all, for those who don't know, this is where these bombings in Saudi Arabia, they were near the Vinnell Corporation. This is a corporation. Please explain to us the intricacies of it, Prothop Chatterjee.
Sure. Vinnell Corporation started out as a construction company back in the 1930s in Los Angeles, and they were sort of working in freeways, actually worked on the Grand Coulee Dam, and they also helped build the Dodger Stadium.
Hmm.
And in the mid-1970s, they sort of fell on hard times. They weren't getting enough work. But fortunately, they had friends in high places, and they decided to cash in on the sort of on the war bonanza, which is in fact what they continue to do today. So their first contract was actually with the military, was to go to Saudi Arabia and help train the Saudi Arabian National Guard. Now, the Saudi Arabian National Guard was really a group of Bedouin tribes people who had been who had helped the Al Saud clan to take over Saudi Arabia. And your listeners will probably know that Saudi Arabia is ruled by this royal family called the Al Sauds. And Vinnell was hired to train them. So they were, you know, out in L.A. Recruiting ex-Vietnam vets. This is 75, recall.
Okay.
So people, you know, had left the military and they were looking for jobs. So they took them to Saudi Arabia to help train the National Guard there. And they've been there for a while. They've made, just literally in the last 10 years, close to $1 billion, you know, setting up firing ranges, setting up military academies, what have you. So they are kind of what you might think of as a mercenary outfit because they do training for soldiers in foreign countries for money. Some of the money comes directly from the U.S. government. So that's kind of what they do.
Wow.
And it's not just Saudi Arabia they've done. They've done it in Malaysia. They've done it in Mexico. They were actually part of an aborted attempt to topple the Prime Minister of Grenada You know, they, like mm-hmm. the mercenaries of old, you know, will do this work for hire, for money. And that's what they were doing in Saudi Arabia. And in Saudi Arabia, in the last probably 10 years or so, there have been four bombings, of which two have been directed at Vinel. Not
okay,
surprising,
four of
the
them.
Company
okay.
that protects the Al Saud family and the Saudi Arabian government.
The oil, right?
The oil. And they were actually tasked directly to help protect the oil fields. And what's interesting is a lot of people said, oh, you know, here these people go again. You know, they're sort of, they're really just kind of a strong, you know, sort of a little like a mafia because, you know, they're a protection racket. Well, actually, given the incidents the last few days, I'm not so sure that they're a great protection racket. If I was, you know, if I was Saudi, I wouldn't be very happy with them because they're not even able to protect themselves. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's simply a money-making racket, not even a protection racket, because supposedly, if you read the New York Times this morning, mm-hmm. the State Department said their, you know, terrorism boss to Saudi Arabia to warn them something was going to happen. Yet these are the people that the U.S. government sent to Saudi Arabia to protect the Saudi Arabian government, and they themselves weren't able to protect their own people in their own buildings. I mean, they failed at that task. So as far as the Saudi Arabian and the U.S. taxpayers concerned, it's a ripoff because they failed in their task. But B, they're also protecting, you know, a completely unelected, undemocratic system of government that discriminates, you know, not unlike the Taliban,
right.
you know, heavily against women. And, you know, it's a family of some 30,000 relatives and princes who own literally over $1 trillion worth of money, you know, oil money that people have paid to gas companies over the last several decades.
Sounds familiar. Saddam, sorry. and so now we have a lot of groups of a lot of very angry people who hate the Vinel Corporation.
Correct, yeah.
Because
well, they hate America, I guess. And that's, you know, I mean, witness the World Trade Center incidents. We're talking about, I think, 15 of the 19 hijackers were by the government's admission from Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Not surprisingly, similar things are happening in Saudi Arabia.
And it's amazing to me that Saudi Arabia, what, you know, I just can't believe it wasn't the first country we went into. Because we have all of these interests over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where, you know, that's where we get our gas. We prop up this government. And, but yet this is exactly where, I mean, a lot of people are upset because of the presence of U.S. soldiers on their soil,
yes.
especially in the holy places, Mecca and Medina. You know, these are places that, you know, are sacred to a lot of the people in the Muslim community.
Right.
Incidentally, some of those, the places in Mecca, the mosques and things like that, were actually built by the Bin Laden family. Not Osama, he never sullied
right.
his hands with construction, but his dad is a big
really.
Construction company official.
Yeah,
so
well,
Vinel was there helping protect a lot of these, you know, wealthy families and the Saudi Arabian government, and they weren't able to protect themselves. And that's where we're at. But I mean, Vinel does this all over the places. Like
right.
I said, they're in Malaysia, they're in Mexico.
Right.
They actually have a surprise. They have a joint venture with a company called Brown & Root, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton, the company that Dick Cheney used to run. And that's in
yes.
Turkey, where they were helping maintain the aircraft and provide for the soldiers that were doing the bombing runs over northern Iraq for the last decade in Operation Northern Watch.
It's just amazing to me how connected, interconnected all of these groups really are. So let me ask you, what do you think? Is this going to be, my prediction is that this will just be swept under the rug like every other, you know, situation like this, like every other, you know, I mean, it's so in front of all of our faces. It's connected for us.
Yeah.
And shouldn't they be held responsible?
I think they should.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to say that they won't be, not unless, you know, the public, your listeners, people, you know, take action. This is really a government that doesn't you know, is completely brazen about. It's giving contracts out to companies that the government officials sit on the boards of and that kind of thing. I mean, they don't even hide it like the Democrats. It's completely blatant and out there. So, I mean, literally, citizens are going to have to, you know, vote or protest in order for something to happen, because otherwise it's just going to get swept under the rug, like you say.
Yeah, just everything. I mean, when we had the Enrons and all of those things, just with that kind of corporation catastrophe and illegality and what they did there, it just all seems to... And you, Prothop Chatterjee, are with Corp Watch.
Correct.
I don't know how you can stand to see it all so blatantly in front of your face. Do you feel like, I mean, yes, you're at Corp Watch. What, do you feel like you're making a difference? Let me ask you that.
Well, certainly there's been a lot of interest, probably mostly in the alternative media, although not entirely. I mean, people have been picking up, especially, I mean, last year I've been writing about these companies for a long time.
Yeah.
And last year people were somewhat interested. But this year, actually, since March 20th, there's been quite a bit of interest. I mean, I do a couple of these radio interviews every day.
Every day, good. Well, we appreciate you doing
BBC,
taking your time on
Guardian.
This one. The music has come up. That means we've come to an end. We appreciate it. We're going to keep in touch with you and keep doing a great job. CorpWatch.com, CorpWatch.org. Everyone go there, www.CorpWatch.org.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Even by today's big money standards, $1 million is a lot to pay for a TV ad. But George W. spared no expense in putting together an ad for his upcoming election campaign. Unfortunately, he stuck us taxpayers with the bill. His ad has already run as news on all the networks, and we'll see snippets of it again and again next year when George goes campaigning. But Bush spent more than taxpayer dollars to make this ad for his personal political advancement. He also spent the integrity of the American presidency, using our brave soldiers as his political props, then trying to lie to we the people about his shameful action. The scene was the USS Lincoln, an aircraft carrier that was returning to San Diego from action in Bush's Iraqi war. George's political hack, Karl Rove, thought it would be a PR coup to have Bush greet the troops. But he quickly shifted from greeting troops to manipulating them. He dressed W. up in a military flight suit, put him in a fighter jet, and swooshed him out to the carrier, making a dramatic, made-for-TV tailhook landing. What imagery and irony. Here was America's most famous Vietnam draft dodger, a guy who used his family connections to keep from fighting for his country, now strutting around posing as some top gun.
Caught in this crass act of politicizing the war and the troops, the White House did what it's best known for doing. It lied. Bush, they said, had to take the jet because the carrier was too far out at sea to be reached by helicopter. This turns out to be sheer bushwah. In fact, the carrier was so close to shore that it had to be turned around to keep the TV cameras from catching the San Diego coastline in the background as Bush landed. This is Jim Hightower saying, imagine Eisenhower or Kennedy or even Bush the Elder, all of whom were real war heroes, resorting to such a cheesy political stunt. George W. can dress up like a Top Gun, but he's nothing but a tin horn.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Okay, we've talked about the Vanel Corporation quite a lot today and learned a few extra facts from our guest there, Prothop Chatterjee, and a few emails to go over here. And if you want to call in, by the way, go ahead, 1-800-TALK-YES. I'd love to talk to you. This is from Chris. He says, okay, oh, we're talking about the fact that the Bush administration now is changing its tune on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, the reason we went to war. Now they're just looking for documentary evidence. The hell is that? And Chris says, oh, okay, I have to also go a little further into this, saying that this New York Times CBS poll that was released Tuesday said 49% said the administration overestimated the amount of banned weapons. 29% said its estimates were accurate, even though we didn't find anything. And I said, this, what a joke. Okay, so Chris said, so what they're saying is that they sent a bunch of incompetent boobs for their first round of inspections. That doesn't seem like the act of an administration that is serious of improving their case. Right. You're right. It is a joke, Chris says. But these jokers aren't funny. Then Richard wrote in to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Julene, I read on an independent news service that over 10,000 Gulf War veterans have died from Gulf War syndrome. We were talking, I went quite a bit actually on and on about depleted uranium in the first war and the second illegal invasion. So 10,000 Gulf War vets, you have read, have died from Gulf War syndrome, depleted uranium to date. This should raise the alarm to all people who have relatives in the armed services who are exposed to this material. Oh, yeah. Also, the Defense Department announced that they will not be testing returning Iraq servicemen for medical anomalies. Go figure. Well, remember that G.W. Bush said, and the study said, that Gulf War syndrome was just stress. They were just a little stressed. That's all. Come on, you know how stress affects the body? You know how it brings you down? It destroys your immune system? Yeah, that's why they died. That's why thousands of veterans are suffering or have died. That's why stress. Stress caused their children. They came back and got their wives pregnant. And that's why these children are being born without arms and legs. Yes, stress. So people, do your yoga, do your meditating, because that stress might kill you, might give you the Gulf War syndrome. Oh my gosh! And let's see, talking also, we had a phone caller who called in about, I think it was Kodak who was calling and talking about religious organizations and the fact that Pat Robertson's organization got money, millions, from what we were told, okay? And Joe from Austin, giving me another little-known fact, thanks, Joe, said, Pat Robertson and his organizations were originally against federal funding of religious organizations. They thought it would create an issue with federal regulations not currently enforced in religious organizations. And he said, see Civil Rights Acts. Until they received the first payment, suddenly, they're a big backer of the program. Well, isn't that convenient? And isn't that a surprise? I'm so surprised. Okay. Church and state, meet each other. Okay. 29% we were talking about of the people who were polled said that the Bush administration's estimates were accurate about how many weapons of mass destruction those crazy Iraqis had. And I said, what planet are these people on? And really, what planet are the 12% who said that the estimates were low? Oh, these poor people. Please find them and set them straight. I'm on a mission. So Jim wrote in from Philly that the 29% that we said that said estimates were accurate is the same as the placebo effect. You know, give them a sugar pill and they think it works. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for writing in. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. I love your emails. I love your phone calls. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we hopefully will be getting a call from Rick Dunham, senior White House correspondent at Business Week magazine. I say if you have any questions for him, because we're going to talk about Homeland Security, questions about covering the White House, bring it on. Come on. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Aggressive microbes have taken on mighty oaks along parts of the West Coast, and the microbes have proven to be killers. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. In the mid-1990s, large numbers of oak trees started to die in parts of California. Researchers looked for an explanation and discovered a previously unknown pathogen. Today, 13 counties in California and Oregon are under a quarantine to prevent the spread of this foreign microbe. Carrie Britton is a plant pathologist with the U.S. Forest Service. She says the culprit is known as Phytophthora ramorum. No one knows exactly how it was carried to the West Coast, but serious measures are now in place to keep it from spreading. Britton says 157,000 acres in California are affected, and no one is allowed to take firewood from the area. In Oregon, 9 square miles of forest are under quarantine where the microbe has been found. Britton says 52 acres of that forest were clear-cut and burned as a preventive measure.
The strategy is to contain the infection where it exists, eradicate it if it's a small enough area that that's practical, and to survey around the edges of where we know it is, hoping to catch new infections before they get going.
Britton says the microbe creates cankers on the bark of a tree when it attacks. The cankers disrupt the flow of sugars and nutrients through connective tissue in the wood, and the tree starves to death. Britton says these infestations are hard to detect in the early stages, but once the symptoms appear, the tree can die within just a few months. Britton says this is not just a problem for California and Oregon. She says the microbe could spread and affect oak trees and other plants across North America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan.
Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
Well, thank you very much, and welcome back to everyone. Thanks for all of your emails. I've been having a good time reading them, and I'll read more a little bit later in the show. Right now, our guest, as promised, it's Rick Dunham, Senior White House Correspondent for Business Week Magazine. And, Rick, thank you for being here.
Oh, glad to be with you.
Yes, absolutely. How long have you been with Business Week?
I've been with Business Week for 11 years now, since the 92 campaign.
Oh, my gosh. You have gone through a lot, haven't
you? Yep. It was the economy stupid back then, and it's still the economy.
You got that right.
We may have war and homeland security, but the economy is number one for me.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing is, we are going to talk about homeland security today. And I think one thing that concerns me is the amount of money that's being spent on that. You know, and are we any safer? You're covering some meetings going on this week, right?
Right, exactly. McGraw-Hill, my parent company, is sponsoring its second annual Homeland Security Summit. So there have been various speakers from the public sector, from the private sector, I mean, ranging from Rudy Giuliani to a lot of the executives who are trying to figure out how to deal with the threat and how to pay for it.
So would you say that it's – do you have any left-of-center people that are –
Yeah, I think it's pretty it's pretty balanced overall. I mean, it will vary. I have a feeling if there is a tilt in speakers, it would be just because people who work for in top positions at corporations might tend to the right. But
sure.
there are a lot of – journalists, a lot of our Business Week and McGraw-Hill people and of the various publications, and I don't think that we're generally thought of as right of center. I think we're pretty much down the middle or not ideological.
Well, you as a reporter, you're just supposed to report the facts, right? You're
yep,
supposed to be
exactly.
Unbiased.
I mean, we sometimes do analytical pieces, but we don't have a partisan bias. We don't really have an ideological preconception. I mean, we look at things and we try to give it our best analysis without trying to come in from the left or the right.
Well, and I know that's tough. I used to be a news reporter on television, and it's tough not to put in your own feelings, whether you lean to the left or you lean to the right. But it's a science, and it can be done. I know it can.
Yes, exactly.
some reporters can do that. So you are the Senior White House Correspondent. Do you attend the press conferences with Ari Fleischer?
I go to when the president has press conferences, I go to all of them. With Ari, I go to a good number, but to tell you the truth, it doesn't really help a lot when you're a weekly, when you're not looking for the latest turn of the screw
to
be there for everything.
Right.
Because I mean, among other things, Ari, as you can see from watching him, is very disciplined, and he doesn't let a lot out that isn't the official line. I mean, probably about zero out that isn't the official line.
Yeah.
And so it's much
That's
more
for
useful
sure.
for me to move away from the White House and talk to people who talk to people in the White House talk to people beyond the Beltway about the policy implications of what's being proposed.
Well,
so I spend some time at the White House, but I don't live there, and I probably don't spend as much time as I did in the Clinton administration, where people were generally a bit more accessible and a little less disciplined, which is always good for reporters of any political stripe.
That's funny. I was going to ask you if you know our friend Russell Mokyber.
Yeah, I've sat next to him at some of the briefings. Let's just say he probably is not at the top of Ari's invitation list for dinners, but he's pretty consistent at coming in with tough questions.
Listen, I love him, and he does his column on commondreams.org called Ari and I, and so I read what his every single. You should check it out. It's kind of fun.
I actually think I don't know if Ari would say this. I actually think he probably likes him because I mean, Russell's pretty straightforward and you know where he's coming from, and he's intellectually honest. So
yeah.
I mean, I have to think there's at least a grudging respect there.
I would like to think so. I'm not sure with Ari, but let's go back to your meeting. So people are speaking about homeland security. Do you get any sense that maybe there's a bit too much hype that people are a little bit too concerned?
There's probably a bit of hype for two reasons. One would be for political reasons, that politicians think that it might help them get elected by making people more concerned. The second is that companies could sell products to make people feel more secure and companies feel more secure. But I think that, I mean, a lot of what's going on is different businesses, different governments at the local level trying to figure out what's real, what do we really need to do, what is reasonable, and in case of emergency, how do we set up emergency communications and backup computer systems and the like. And the other is, how do we pay for it? Especially when you're a local government, I mean, they're at the bottom of the heap right now, and they're losing state and federal money. They have more safety net programs that they have to take care of, where there's more need when the economy gets bad, and they all of a sudden have all these requirements and no money coming from the federal government to pay for them. That's one of the big debates that's going on, at least in tandem with this tax cut bill that's moving through.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you know, that's the thing. The states already need money for social programs and things like that, let alone these requirements that have been.
I mean, you look at the squeeze that's going on the state budgets. A lot of states are cutting back in education. They're cutting back in health care for the poor. Where they're adding spending is for security. And it has to come out of somewhere. The tax revenues are going down, and they're making choices. And I mean, they're really tough choices. But you sort of see who wields political power and who doesn't when you see where the money goes and where the money comes from, where the cuts come from.
Well, it's all a big racket, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, Rick, it brings me back. I was mentioning this earlier. With all of this money being spent on security, when you think about the biggest event, September 11th, it was a bunch of guys with box cutters. You know, how do you secure yourself from something as simple as that?
Well, that's the toughest thing is how do you know where the threat is coming from? And you know that you can't make something completely secure. I mean, you can't make every shopping mall in America secure, every amusement park in America secure. You can't close down all the city streets so that a truck with explosives in it couldn't blow up in front of almost any headquarters in the country. So you have to be rational and manage the risk as best as possible. And I mean, I think what businesses can do and people can do that makes the most sense is just in case of emergency, how you deal with it. You know, without panicking, without being extreme in your fears. That something like that seems to make sense. But you can't have 100% security, and you just have to decide what is reasonable, both in terms of the trade-offs of our civil liberties and freedoms and in terms of cost.
I was going to say, are you hearing a lot in the conference? Are people bringing up concerns about civil liberties, about their civil liberties?
Yes. It is something that that comes up. And I don't think that that's really an ideological issue. You have liberals and you have conservatives who are concerned about it. I don't think if you took a poll that a majority of Americans would be that concerned, but it is something that that's on the minds of people probably everywhere. But the Justice Department probably is concerned with finding the bad guys rather than the civil liberties issues involved.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, on this show, and our listeners are passionate about civil liberties, and I hate when I hear that, you know, and it's true, there are a great deal of Americans who don't care, they're just not actively engaged. You and I do this for a living,
right? So. Exactly. I know, and in Washington you hear the debate, and people are passionate on both sides. I think probably the pro civil liberties people are more passionate on it, but I've always thought as a reporter, if the American people voted on the Bill of Rights, freedom of the press probably would go along with search and seizure and other parts of the Bill of Rights. If you just base the Bill of Rights on a public opinion poll.
So tell us when you have an article coming out in this next week's issue.
Right now, in terms of Homeland Security, on the Business Week online website, there's an entire package of stories. There's a special report on on Homeland Security.
I read
this week I'm actually looking at the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court politics in case there are vacancies that come up. The Washington Outlook column I edited, written by Lorraine Woolert, my colleague who covers justice.
Oh, well, that's a biggie.
Yes, exactly.
That's a real biggie.
And we're weighing in on some of the politics behind, even though there are no vacancies right now, everybody's expecting them, and people are lining up to try to either stop a conservative wave, stop the conservative wave, or to try to pressure the president to push justices who would be as conservative as possible. I mean, it's going to be a fight that makes these two that we've seen over the last couple of months just pale in comparison.
Well, I'm looking forward to a fight because there needs to be a fight. I'm very concerned about, and our listeners are very concerned. One question, let me ask you. Do the people at the conference, are you seeing that people you talk to, since you're out talking to the people who talk to the people, do they feel safer because of Homeland Security?
That's an excellent question. I think probably on balance, it's probably about the same because people see things that have been done to make them more secure, but they've also learned about other weaknesses that they hadn't thought about. So some of their anxieties have been taken care of, but then there are other things they're thinking about that they just hadn't thought about before. And I guess that's what terror is all about. The terror comes from the mind, and so I think that people generally believe that both government and private sector have taken some steps, but there are certain areas where there's precious little that's been done.
Hey, listen, duct tape and plastic, we're all okay with
that. Exactly. That's going to be one of those things that goes down in history. I was a history major, and I just can see that when we look at a history of this period, we're going to be talking about duct tape just like when I was a kid and we had duck and cover.
Exactly. It will go down in history. You're right. Well, Rick, we sure appreciate you taking the time to stop by today. Rick Dunham, Senior White House Correspondent for Business Week Magazine, and we'll look for your work.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay, get out there and stay on the streets and give them a little help for us. Come on. Thanks, Rick. We have a phone call from David in Alabama. Oh, David, you have a new term for weapons of mass destruction? Good.
Yes. Instead of saying that, it's never been proven. Let's start calling it weapons of mass discussion. That's all it's been. Mass discussion.
Weapons of mass discussion.
And
that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
And to be serious, that was the original intent.
What are you saying?
To discuss that and forget about other things.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
And what was the deal about them trying to go into Cuba now? What's going on?
You know, I actually saw some pieces on that, but I did not read in it. I just didn't get to it. If Peter were here, he could rattle it off. But
okay, but we'll get to it later. But please start using that term. I'm not, you know, it doesn't have an author.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear that than the other.
I like it.
You did a good job today.
Oh, thank you.
As usual.
Until you asked me the Cuba question. Thanks, David.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's David calling from Alabama. And listen, I'll do my homework. We'll talk about it tomorrow, I promise. David saying his new term for weapons of mass destruction is weapons of mass discussion. I love that. That is so good. Because really, have they discussed and then they've disgusted us, D-I-S-G-U-S-T-E-D, to death. Have they not? I know I am disgusted. A couple of minutes left in this segment and then another short segment, and that will be it for today. A great show planned for tomorrow, so I hope you're back. Peter Werby will be back on Monday. He's on vacation. I thought I was going to get him on the air. Steph back in Master Control, we had him on the air, and then boom, he was gone. Maybe he chickened out. Oh, yeah, right. I always encourage people to go to the Common Dreams News Center to get your progressive news and views. I spend a great deal of time on there. In fact, I don't go to many mainstream sources for my news. I do just to see how they're reporting it, and then I go to what I feel are the root real sources. And on Common Dreams yesterday, there was an article about how not to run a country. It's all about Afghanistan. We were talking about this earlier, about Hamid Karzai. He seemed like the perfect leader to head this transitional government. He was well-educated. He was media-friendly with family and extensive experience in the United States. And he was installed as president in December of 2001. Now, in very deep trouble, what's going on over there? And I encourage you to read this article by Paul Knox, because I don't have time to go into the whole thing. But it's all about this post-Taliban era. Well, it's not so post anymore. It looks like Taliban guerrillas killed more than 30 Afghan soldiers. Remember this? And a Red Cross worker last month. And Karzai saying to Pakistan, please crack down on cross-border, you know, happenings coming in and out. And so he thinks he has these allies, and they're at least worrisome about that they're his enemies more than anything. Warlords, who helped the U.S. force out the Taliban regime were rewarded. Remember this? They got control over different tracts of territory. They now have all their own armies. They collect their own taxes. And Karzai has tried to get all of this, you know, remitted to a central government. But it's not going to happen. In fact, in Herat province on the Iranian border, the governor there, Ismail Khan, he has reimposed Taliban-style restrictions on women, including, according to a recent Newsweek account, I have to talk about this today because it's just so sick, forced virginity checks. So the Taliban, still there. They're still killing people. They're still violating human rights. They're still doing things to women like these checks, forced virginity checks. Well, Afghanistan, Iraq, but hey, we've got the oil, folks. That pipeline's going in. Woohoo! Get in your car and drive.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad.
Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff. How's that for sage advice? Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
I want peace.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show with Julene Jordan. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Julene Jordan.
They're no longer weapons of mass destruction. They're weapons of mass discussion. That's my favorite saying of the day from David. I think it was in Alabama there. Let's go right to the phones. Two calls to take care of in this last 4.5 minute segment. Let's go to Billy in, where are you? Santa Cruz today.
Yeah, but I'm headed towards Miami, maybe.
You are?
I want to go to the Bahamas and buy a condo.
Hey, I'll come with you.
Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
Here's what I have for you real quick, and I'm going to make this quick, and I'll add to it at a later date.
Okay.
So we can get that other call on. And that is the big movie today that's breaking open is The Matrix.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And America, Julene, is exactly like The Matrix.
It is. See, I'm not interested in movies like this, but tell me.
I know, and I'm not going to go into why, because I'm going to wait for somebody. Well, no, Peter isn't interested either. But I will go into why.
Wait for someone who cares? You're going to wait for someone who cares?
No, because you know what? Nobody cares. when I say that, I mean you and Peter don't care, but the rest of us might.
Okay.
It's just an interesting intellectual exercise on how is The Matrix exactly like America, and we'll do that later. Bye-bye for now.
Now, listen,
what?
Billy, why don't you call tomorrow and explain this to me, because now I'm going to want to know.
Well, there you go. I promise to do that. When do you want it?
Well, I think you should call in the first hour of the program tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay?
Bye-bye.
It's a date. Bye, Billy. I wanted to give you more time. And where have you been? And why aren't you yelling? What's wrong with you? Let's go to Robert in Washington, D.C. Hi, Robert.
Hey there. I should try to make more time to talk to you, too, but it's tough these days.
I know. Well, we're all trying to make a living, right?
Yes, ma'am. I actually had cause to be out in Texas recently. My wife is a scientist, and we were actually out in Galveston, which is where Tom DeLay, I guess, sent the jackbooted thugs out to harass the nurses where the children of one of the legislators were in intensive care.
Yes.
And you know, nice area overall, but it, you know, in some ways, it's kind of a strange part of the country. I have never in my life seen more SUVs on the road. I mean, literally, 60% of the cars that I saw were either full-size trucks or SUVs.
A lot of trucks in Texas, that's
yeah,
for sure.
I guess if you drive anything that gets more than 15 to a gallon, that's un-American.
Oh, boy.
And bizarre, too, I never saw so many strip joints in my life.
Oh, boy. Oh, my
God. So much for defining morality, huh?
Listen, I know I lived in Detroit. Detroit probably rivals that, but we'll take this up on another day. Who has the most booby bars? All right. Thanks for calling. And, yeah, we will talk more about all of this tomorrow. We'll take your phone calls, and we'll have great guests. Greg Palast going to be on the show tomorrow. We're going to also talk about the environment with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Have a beautiful day. Thank you, Steph. You're awesome. You rock, girl. And, really, we'll talk to you tomorrow, everyone. Have a good one.
Been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That